comprender en inglés es uno de los aspectos más complicados a la hora de aprender este idioma. Todo el mundo se frustra, piensa que es imposible, pero bueno, hay solución.
Exacto, lo que vamos a hacer hoy es, os vais a enfrentar a una conversación real en inglés. Ahora estamos hablando español, pero en breve vamos a estar hablando durante unos cuantos minutos específicamente en inglés y, muy importante, cuando haya alguna expresión importante, nosotros después en postproducción iremos cortando y explicando, pero lo que es la conversación no va a estar interrumpida para que tengáis la sensación de lo que es una conversación real. Luego podéis ver esas expresiones y luego podrán hacer práctica y saliendo de una conversación real como va a ser esta.
Eso es, importante, conversación real, nada de inglés académico de what color is it y nada por el estilo de ese inglés que nos han enseñado que no existe. Inglés totalmente real y muy muy importante para ayudarnos a crecer. No os olvidéis de darnos un like y sobre todo de suscribiros a nuestro canal para estar al día y no perderos ningún vídeo como este que vamos a ver hoy.
Alright, so now let's get started, Carlos.
So, let's get started. How did we end up in this situation, Fran?
Yeah, well, we started a few years back. Well, actually, we started back in 2010. And basically, back then, I was working at a school here in Huesca. I was working as a teacher, and I was also teaching at University of Zaragoza. And we decided to basically just quit everything and start our own business.
Which yeah, but wait a second, friend. You hadn't studied English at high school or anything, right?
Oh, yeah, that's an important point. Yeah. Yes, because basically...
Because a little bit told me that you had to study French.
Absolutely. Right? I was, ever since I was a kid, when I was at primary school, I decided to go for French.
Yeah.
Because basically I didn't know any languages,
but
our mom was, she knew a little bit of that. So I decided to just go for it because...
I decided to just go for it. Eso es lo que dice Fran, fijaos. I decided, decidí, to just go for it. Simplemente decidí ir a por ello. Fuera lo que fuera, por francés, pam, decidí ir a por ello. I decided to just go for it. Simplemente, ve a por ello, go for it. A por ello, go for it. Pues decidí ir a por ello. I decided to just go for it. Ponemos ese just simplemente como enfatizando. Simplemente ir a por ello. Just go for it.
Because that way she would be helping me a little bit.
Of course.
But the bad news was from sixth grade all the way to college, I was constantly failing French. So I didn't have any... I didn't have a knack for languages, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I was really bad.
And did you like it?
I didn't like it because I was I was really bad. So all the languages I did was from age 11 to age 23. I was doing French and I was constantly failing. So that's basically the backstory. So, but we both didn't like languages and we thought we were bad at it. And we basically were just struggling and surviving. And it basically was the same case with you, right?
Yeah, it was also my case. I used to fail. Yeah, I failed every exam I used to take. Well, in fact, I started studying English when I was, I can't remember, about 10.
Primary school.
Yeah, and fifth grade.
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade in Cuarte.
Mm-hmm. Well, hometown.
Yeah, we were born in a little town, just and around, I don't know, 70 people town, little town. We're brothers, by the way. Some people don't know we're brothers. He's my older brother.
Do we look alike?
I don't know. Some people say that. So back then, in those days, so I started when I was... 10 or 11, I can't remember, as I told you. But from the beginning, since I started learning English, it was horrible for me. I hated it and I wasn't able to pass an exam.
You hated it, you were failing and flunking constantly all the way.
Yeah, every time, yeah. And I mean, I was a good student, I wasn't a bad student. The rest of the signatures were fine for me, but English, I don't know why, but...
So basically you were... Normal, you were pretty good at all the subjects.
Yeah, average student. Fijaos, para decir un alumno, pues medio, estándar, promedio, average. Average es, quiere decir, pues en la media lo que sería estándar, la media de algo, pues simplemente aplicado como, pues como adjetivo, es para decir algo, pues estándar, normal. An average student, un estudiante, pues medio, normal. An average person, una persona muy normal, sin ni muy buena ni muy mala. Por lo tanto, para decir un estudiante pues normal, como todo el mundo del montón que se dice, average student.
Average yeah. student in all the yeah. subjects, but languages.
Languages,
you
yeah.
were doing English.
Yeah.
Right. But then what was the turning point? So yeah, how come, because you decided to just change your mind? Or
well, the turning point was, I remember, probably 2009 mm-hmm. or 2008. Mm-hmm. I remember that. You were giving classes in your house, mm-hmm. in your house, private classes.
Absolutely, yeah, that's right.
And I don't know why, it was somebody I passed by, and I joined one of those classes.
Yeah, you were just to, you just testing the waters?
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, I was saying, I was, when I was like 28, 29, I had two jobs. One of them was at a school here at Huesca. I was teaching a bilingual program.
But we skipped an important part. How do you learn how to speak English, right?
Oh, yeah, going back to it. Well, basically, as I said before, I was really bad at languages all the way to college.
Yeah.
But then I spent a year in France, just studying abroad. And I did all I could to learn French the right way. So basically communicating, correcting myself. And then after a few months, I just became a French teacher. So I went from failing and flunking French constantly to really being good at it. And creating my own method of how to learn a foreign uh-huh. language. And so since I got so confident, then I decided to do the same with English. And basically, I had a job opportunity back in 2001 to become a teacher in the U.S. So that was January 2001, and I had 4 months to the job interview, and I didn't know any English.
You hadn't studied English.
Ever. I hadn't done any English at all.
Yeah. Como dice aquí Fran, no había hecho nada de inglés en absoluto. Fijaos, I hadn't done any English at all. I hadn't. ¿Qué sería? Pasado perfecto. I hadn't. I hadn't, con la negativa, I hadn't done. No había hecho. Yo no había hecho. I had not, contraído, done. I hadn't done any English at all. Nada de inglés, algo de inglés, en absoluto, at all. Fijaos que no dice at all, mal pronunciado sería I hadn't done any English at all. No, dice I hadn't done any English at all. Así, practicadlo. I hadn't done any English at all. No había hecho nada de inglés en absoluto.
And so I was 25 back then. But I was so confident from my French learning experience that I said, okay, no problem. I'll do that. So I applied for it. And in those 4 months, basically studying some 12 hours a day per day, I went to Ireland for 40 days, constantly focusing on that. Uh-huh. But the bottom line is, went to the job interview that was May 2004, and after 4 months of 2001, sorry, and after 4 months of self-taught studying English,
yeah,
like crazy, I got my job interview. So I got, that's, you know, incredible. I went to the U.S. and I was teaching there for 3 years straight.
Yeah, what an experience! Because it was, going to the U.S., it wasn't like today.
No, I mean,
it was
then.
Different. It was like an adventure. It was like you were going to the end of the world, right?
Yeah, back like 25 years back, yeah. It was like an alien experience, yeah, something like that. And keep in mind, I was 25, so.
Yeah, I remember mom was worried. It was like, we were never going to see you again.
Yeah, what's it going to be like?
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so I went there to the U.S., spent 3 years teaching, and I learned a whole lot of things, from language to how to deal with job issues and you name it, lots of stuff. So basically went back in 2004, then I got those two jobs I was talking about at a school here in Wisconsin, then at University of Zaragoza. And as if it were not enough, then in 2009, I decided to, aside from, on top of having the job at school and the job at college, then I was teaching part-time at home, private, lessons.
Fijaos aquí como dice Fran, por si no fuera poco, como si ya no fuera poco, as if it were not enough. As if it were not enough, as if it were, como si, as if it were, como si ello fuera no, porque lo hace sin contraer para enfatizar, as if it were not enough. Como si no fuera suficiente, enough es suficiente, no se pronuncia enough, se pronuncia enough. As if it were not enough, fijaos como lo dice, no dice as if it were not enough, no. Real, as if it were not enough, as if it were not, sin contraer, para enfatizar, not enough, suficiente. Y luego continúa, on top of having the job at school, Quiere decir on top of. Además de, encima de y para colmo. On top of. Having. Fijaos, on top of, además de, seguido de ing. On top of having the job at school. Además de tener el trabajo en el colegio, pues iba a la universidad, etcétera, etcétera. On top of having the job at school. Además, encima de tener el trabajo en el colegio, on top of. Top es, pues, encima, la parte de arriba, la parte superior. On top of. Encima de eso, pues, literal, prácticamente, como decimos, encima de tal, pues, aún con todo, más aún. Pues, on top of having. Además de tener, con ING.
And so I had up to 40 students at home, so it was working and working. And one of those days, you showed up.
Yeah, right? I showed up. I remember you were talking about, you guys were talking about pronunciation. Well, of course, about pronunciation, because, I remember practicing the word number. Everybody was saying number.
That's a typical thing.
Number, and suddenly, my brother told me, try. And I said,
try, right?
And I said, number.
Like,
number.
Put your tongue like that, number. And then he said, oh my God, hey, isn't that difficult?
Right? What was that? Yeah. Yeah. And then I realized that I don't know why, but pronunciation was a little bit easy for me. It wasn't so difficult as I thought.
Especially being musicians, because both Carlos and I are musicians. Well, we've been studying music from an early age. So basically, it's kind of the same thing.
When did you start playing guitar?
I started when I was seven. And I
started when I was eight.
Yeah,
classical guitar.
Yeah, so pretty much in our family, our sister plays the piano almost professionally for a while. Carlos was learning guitar up until he was 23, 24.
24.
Professionally, so 24. To speak. And I've been playing guitar pretty much all my life. Our mom is still playing accordion.
He plays accordion.
Then our dad, he's always been singing, like self-taught and stuff. But the last several years, he's been attending singing lessons. So pretty much all the family is really musical.
Yeah, but you still play the guitar, right?
I still play the guitar.
Yeah.
Now I've been for 2 months, I haven't played that much.
Fijaos aquí como pregunto Carlos, yo en este caso, you still play the guitar, right? Es una pregunta... ¿Cómo se considera? No es una pregunta, es una tag question. A question tag, mejor dicho. Question tag, porque realmente no se pregunta y simplemente ponemos la coletilla de pregunta al final. Es right, ¿correcto? ¿Cierto? Porque tú todavía tocas la guitarra, ¿cierto? You still play the guitar, right? Ese right es una fórmula para hacer este tipo de preguntas, estas question tag, de forma muy sencilla. Hay otras formas con isn't it o aren't you, pero son más complejas, y así con este right, que vale para todo, lo ponemos después y nos queda súper bien. Cualquier frase que la queremos hacer al final como pregunta, pues le ponemos este right. You still play the guitar, right? Todavía tocas la guitarra, ¿cierto? ¿Verdad? Y luego responde Fran, I still play the guitar. Podría responder yes, yes, o simplemente yes, of course, pero enfatizando dice, I still play the guitar. Por supuesto, sí, todavía toco la guitarra, todavía toco la guitarra. I still play the guitar.
But in the last 2 years, I don't know. It's just it happens like that. Uh-huh. But for the two last years, I've been playing like a lot.
Yeah, I know.
So it depends on the not like drums. I've been playing drums also for the last 5 years. But then in the last 5 months, I haven't played that much. But it depends. It just have my ups and downs. But all in all, it's just, I've been playing all my life.
Remember, we used to have a band, a rock band together, named You Rock.
You Rock.
You Rock.
Yeah, and that went on for about 10 years or something, and then rehearsing, a lot of playing, a lot of promoting, and we have our rehearsal place. And
we were quite good.
Yeah, it was really good. You guys can look it up.
Yeah,
You can look it
it's
up.
A cover on, band. A cover band.
You can look it up on YouTube. You Rock. It's all together. And there's a few songs, especially like the other day I was just at home doing, I had YouTube on the TV and it was randomly playing songs. And then I was doing something else at a different room and I heard a song and it was a small town girl living Journey. In a lonely way, that Journey song.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, that version, what is that? I haven't heard of that. Cause it's always the same live version of Journey. So I thought, maybe it's a different live version. Yeah. But it was our song.
Our song.
Yeah, our singer, Jose Antonio, he's
great.
So good. So if you don't actually see the video, you listen to it, and it sounds like the real thing.
Yeah, he's
and
awesome.
It's amazing. You guys look it up. You look up.
Aquí fijaos como dice Fran. It sounds like the real thing. It sounds like, suena como the real thing. Como lo auténtico. Estamos hablando de nuestro grupo de versiones que hacíamos de rock que sonaba igual o mejor que las versiones originales. It sounds like the real thing. It sounds like the real thing. Suena como lo verdadero. The real thing es, pues, como el de verdad. It sounds like the real thing. Y luego, añade Frank, you guys look it up. You guys look it up. Fijaos, you guys, vosotros, look it up. Look it up. Look up es consultar algo, mirarlo, mirarlo en internet. You guys look it up. Podéis chequearlo en internet, nuestro grupo You Rock. You guys look it up. Vosotros. En lugar de decir tú, dice vosotros, que es you, con el guys, para estar seguros de que hablamos en plural. You guys look it up. Vosotros, consultadlo.
You Rock the Band or You Rock or yeah. whatever, and it is that song, Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing. You like music from the 80s and the 90s and 70s, so rock, of course, you're going to love it. So we used to play songs by Queen or Smith, Journey.
AC/DC.
AC/DC, yeah.
All you name it. All those kinds of rock FM, typical. And the radio stations, mainstream rock radio stations are... Yeah. And it was tough. It was a lot of time. We also played Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mama just killed the man.
Yeah.
With all the vocal harmonies and everything.
Yeah, everything. It was very tough.
It was rough and risky. Yeah. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It was great. It was very fun. Mm. But it was very hard. Quite hard to get gigs. It was very difficult to bring people to our concert.
Yeah, absolutely. And concerts. We didn't like to get people involved, like people we know involved.
Yeah.
So basically, we promoted a venue or a gig or something, but we didn't let our friends or family know because it was kind of a commitment. So it's just to put them on a, you know. Difficulty to put them on the spot. That was the situation. The expression I was looking for is to put them on the spot because it's kind of a commitment.
Yeah.
And so basically we were promoting it and sometimes there were quite a lot of people, but it was a lot of time and a lot of rehearsing and sometimes there was an audience of 20 people and it was really discouraging, you know?
Yeah. Someday we could make a video with the guitars, something like that.
Oh, yeah, we can try.
We could analyze a song or the lyrics of a song, something like that with our guitars. Yeah, we'll bring them here.
But anyways, and we were doing that along with the schools, the teaching, the... So anyways, we were talking about how I learned English, then I taught in the U.S., then went back here, and here I was teaching at a particular time in 2008 and 9.
Yeah.
I was having my job at school here full-time, part-time at University of Zaragoza, and then teaching home.
Yeah.
So basically—
You had time to play the guitar.
Yeah, still, and playing guitar and rehearsing in the band, because the band, we started in 2007, and so basically everything coincided.
Yeah.
And so basically that was 2010, and then at school back in the day, when I was where I was teaching, a lot of parents were saying, oh, Fran, why don't you teach us something, or you could, because a lot of parents, they wanted to learn. So we saw there was a market, market for English teaching privately. And so in 2009-10, so basically I decided to quit all my jobs and on starting with...
Because I decided to quit all my jobs. Decidí dejar. Quit es dejar, dimitir, abandonar, dejar de hacer algo rutinario. I decided to quit all my jobs. Decidí dejar todos mis trabajos. I decided to quit smoking. Decidí dejar de fumar. I'm quitting. Dimito. I decided to quit all my jobs. Decidí, pues, dimitir o dejar todos mis trabajos. Quit es dejar. Quit, quit, quit. Es irregular, pero muy fácil porque es siempre igual. Quit, quit, quit.
With Carlos, this project is from that day that we were talking about, he came to my lessons. The next year, he was studying. You were studying.
Yeah, I went to Madrid and I decided to take a master and intensive course in Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it lasted 10 months, but I studied around 10 hours a day or something like that. It was 12 hours a day.
It was crazy. Von master's
course. Von master in Madrid.
And he took it really seriously. The thing was, if you get to learn the way we think, then we can start a business. And,
yeah, of course. It was a great opportunity, and I couldn't miss it. Mm. So, and of course, being in Madrid, I live in Madrid. Life in Madrid was very expensive. So
that was 2009.
Yeah, it was a big responsibility there.
So that was a lot of money and time involved. And
yeah.
And basically, we thought, okay, you can do it. You can learn. And if you learn, then we can start the business, and then you'll be seeing firsthand, what that great business it is, the Vaughn method,
Vaughn
and then
method.
We can make it maybe just make it better, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, that was.
I remember going to class from 9 to 2 p.m. and after that, I used to have lunch, and after that, just studying on. Doing the homeworks and listening and everything I could to improve my English. I remember I did my best to improve my English and to learn how to speak English. I did my best to improve my English and to learn how to speak English. Di lo máximo de mí para mejorar mi inglés y para aprender a hablar inglés. I did my best. Do your best. Haz lo mejor que puedas. Da lo máximo de ti. I did my best. Hice todo lo que pude. Di lo máximo de mí. Y luego en la segunda parte digo, to learn how to speak English. Aprender cómo hablar inglés. Siempre esa estructura, aprender cómo hacer algo. No es aprender a hablar inglés, to learn to speak English. No, to learn how to speak English. Aprender a hablar inglés. Siempre con esa estructura, how to speak English. I remember if there were, amazing. I don't know, if there were some bars in Madrid where they used to speak English and practice. So I didn't mind spending, I don't know, an hour.
Just to go there.
Yeah, to go there. So it was, yeah.
So basically,
I took it very seriously.
You did everything in your hands and beyond to make it, you know, the best way possible. And then after those 8 or 10 months, then you were pretty much ready. And then basically, I started to quit, just stop all my jobs. And then you also had a job opportunity in the music business. Well, he was because he studied. Music,
I had studied teaching before music. I could work as a music teacher. In schools, and I had an opportunity. I took the positions. I don't know how to say that. The exam to get a job position there as a civil servant.
Yes, a competitive.
I don't know.
Mr. Vaughn would used to say that competitive examination. Something like that.
Could be. Aquí estamos hablando pues de palabras que prácticamente solo existen en España, que es funcionarios y oposiciones, ¿no? Porque este sistema pues en países anglosajones no está, ¿no? Entonces funcionario se dice civil servant. Civil servant. Si se define esa palabra es civil servant es para definir a funcionario. Y Fran responde también de cómo se dice oposiciones. Él dice que es competitive examinations. Realmente como esa palabra no existe en inglés, pues bueno, lo traducen así, pero realmente no es común. ¿De acuerdo? Competitive examinations, para hablar de oposiciones, los exámenes típicos aquí para conseguir un puesto público, ¿no? Pero bueno, que hay muchas palabras que realmente no tienen traducción, como dice Fran, pues ahí, pues que si paella, chorizo, siesta, etcétera, ¿no?
Okay, there's no translation, like for oposiciones,
oposiciones
in Spanish.
Yes.
There's no translation because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But it's the same with churros, chorizo,
paella.
No, paella. That's,
I like
so
that.
Oposiciones, I think it's competitive examination.
Yeah. And I took the exam. I hadn't studied, but after a year, I was called to work as a civil servant. But of course, we had already started this business.
Exactly.
So of course, I wasn't interested.
So basically, he quit that job that he didn't even start it.
And then
I quit my jobs too. And then we started back into 2010. We started U-Talk.
Yeah.
And that's something we can talk about. See? And then maybe the next episode. What do you think?
Yeah, because it's a very interesting episode or the beginning of your talk.
But I think so far this is a really good conversation.
Yeah.
And it's been, now what we'll do is we will watch it again and we'll explain everything we've talked about, and I think it can be really, really useful for them.
Yeah, of course. And you like it, you can ask us whatever you want. You can send us questions of subjects you would like us to talk about.
Exactly. And let us know if you guys this format. Y decinos qué os ha parecido, porque pensamos que puede ser bastante útil y os seguiremos contando historias de este tipo, entrevistamos a más gente, ¿verdad?
Entonces, sí, y hay una cosa muy importante, Frank, que se nos ha olvidado. Les dejamos también algo en la descripción del vídeo, muy, muy importante.
Exacto. Tenéis un acceso a una clase de presentación gratuita de nuestro UTalk TV Plus. Bueno, básicamente habla de nuestro sistema de enseñanza, vamos a dar un montón de trucos. Simplemente te vamos a pedir el nombre y el email.
Pero gratis.
Y vas a ver ahí una presentación de en qué consiste todo nuestro curso UTalk TV Plus. Un curso que tiene 4,8 sobre 5 con casi 1.200 reseñas. Entonces es de lejos uno de los cursos, bueno, te podría decir de formaciones de lo mejor valorado.
Y especialmente, si queréis aprender inglés de una vez por todas y queréis hacerlo de nuestra mano, pues no os lo podéis perder, que de verdad os va a gustar. Y es muy importante que la veáis. Así que bueno, yo creo que ya estaría, ¿verdad, Fran?
Sí, simplemente recordad también suscribiros y darnos un me gusta, eso nos ayuda un montón. Sobre todo si te ha gustado esto y has llegado hasta aquí, seguro que te ha gustado, así que tú seguro que le vas a dar.
So, thank you so much.
All right, guys, bye-bye. See you later, bye.